Now, the state says that almost 80,000 Wisconsinites may have to repay tens of millions of dollars in unemployment money that was overpaid to them. Overpayment is a common part of the unemployment benefit process. It happens for a number of reasons, like an employer contesting claims or mistakes made, either by the recipient or by the state during the benefit claiming process. But for many people, the scale, the numbers involved, grew significantly after the coronavirus pandemic left many without jobs. And now the normal process for fighting the state's decision on overpayments is backlogged, too. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you apply for unemployment in the last year? How did it go for you? And have you gotten a notice from the state at this point saying, hey, maybe you owe back unemployment benefits yourself? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Rob Mentzer is Wisconsin Public Radio's rural communities reporter. He's based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, Rob. Thanks.
And also with us today, Andrew Stettner, senior fellow at the Century Foundation, a progressive think tank focused on economic, racial, and gender equity. Andrew, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon.
Well, Rob, let's start with you. You've been reporting on this overpayment issue. What is going on?
Right. So this is, as you say, this is all sort of a consequence of the way that the state systems were overwhelmed early last year. There are all these sort of follow on consequences that flow from that. And because, as you say, certain amount of overpayment notices are just a normal part of administering the unemployment system. There could be just a clerical error that causes somebody to get a bit more than they are entitled to by law, and they sometimes have to pay it back. There are some cases of fraud that the state needs to chase down as well. That is something that happens. But in this case, because there have been so many, there were so many claims filed in such a short time, and then a long backlog that prevented them from being paid out for a very long time, it's like pushed each step of the process back. And now we are in a situation where a lot of people in Wisconsin are getting these overpayment notices, sometimes for like the full amount of their benefit or these very large numbers that accrued over a long period of time. And so, you know, for instance, I can talk about, I talked with a family who right now they're being told that they owe like $13,000 to the state. And they're saying there's no way we can pay this back.
And Andrew, we've talked a lot on this show about Wisconsin being overwhelmed, its rusty unemployment compensation computer system being overwhelmed by this, a lot of time taken to catch up. Andrew, is this just a Wisconsin story, or are other states struggling with similar situations?
I think Wisconsin certainly has its own share of struggles, but it's not unique. This whole system across the country has been underinvested in and was really not ready for the situation. And there's been a lot of backseats when it comes to people that got unemployment benefits and were later found to have received an overpayment. And like Rob said, not for fraud, but really an error either on the state's part or when the more information came to light.
And why, Andrew, have so many states left these old systems in place? I think Wisconsin's a lot of the programming happened in the 1970s and early 1980s. The interfaces look familiar to anybody who played computer games circa 1985. Why wasn't there more investment before we had this overwhelming situation of the COVID economic shutdown?
You know, unfortunately, sympathy for the unemployed goes away really fast after a down period. And the grants to states have really not kept up with inflation. States really rely on federal grants, and they've been very limited. We've just invested a lot less in unemployment than we have in other programs like healthcare.
Now, Rob, with people facing this overpayment situation, I know one of the examples you gave in a piece you wrote about this at WPR.org, somebody applied in good faith and later got this back pay bill saying their employer had contested their claim. So what could you talk about that situation? What happens then?
Right. And so this, you know, it is noteworthy that this affected a lot of people who did not have experience with this, with the unemployment system. They're not people who had claimed this benefit in the past, but the pandemic was an extraordinary circumstance. A lot of people lost jobs early last year. And then the federal government also was, you know, it had boosted the benefit that people received. And so that's another thing that that led to a lot of what we're seeing now, these amounts being somewhat inflated. So in particular, I spoke with a woman named Annie Knudsen, who lives in Appleton, and she had a part-time job driving a van for a martial arts school. She would pick the kids up from the elementary school and take them to the martial arts school. And then during the stay-at-home order, the school closed down. They did not offer any classes for months, and she was out of work. You can't be a driver if there's no kids to drive. There's no schools and there's no martial arts school. So then the school reopened in July, around July, sometime late July, and she declined to come back to work. So from her point of view, that is the period of her unemployment. And she applied for that and got it. But then the employer has contested that, and said that she refused to work, remotely in the interim, and that she quit and wasn't a layoff. Now that's again, like there's an appeals process. She'll have a chance to make her case, and the employer will too. And that's going to be adjudicated. But the problem, once again, because of the overwhelmed system, is that appeals process itself is going to take over a year right now, the backlog there. And so in the meantime, they have this overpayment notice hanging over their head for $13,000 and no option to, in the immediate future, take care of that.
We're talking about Wisconsin's unemployment system, concerns about back payment issues too. Rob Mentzer is with us, WPR reporter, and Andrew Stettner, senior fellow at the Century Foundation. You can join in if you have questions or experiences to share dealing with unemployment, maybe yourself or in your family or for your employees over the last year. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Andrew, we just heard from Rob, a lot of people, first timers in effect in the unemployment system in this last year. Are there changes you think could be made at the state level or maybe coming from the federal level to make the process a little more clear, a little less confusing, a little more transparent for people using it, apart from the back end technology?
I just want to jump in on some of the things that Rob said, so people out there are really clear. There has been an issue where people would file for benefits, they get paid, and more information comes to light, and they end up being assessed an overpayment. It's very lucky that the claimant that Rob mentioned did file that appeal. That freezes the ability for the state to garnish things like your tax return or even your stimulus payment. So it's really important for people out there that they get a notice of overpayment, even if they're confused by it, like a new person, go ahead and file that appeal for it, especially if you feel like you've been wronged in that overpayment decision. So I did want to emphasize that, we need these systems that are out there to be designed in a user-friendly manner with plainer language that is given to claimants to answer their questions. We need information systems that people can access in different ways, not just on the web, but actually talking to someone, when they have questions. So there's a lot of ways that we can improve, this system, that's out there. And, when it comes to overpayments, we need in Wisconsin and other places, we need to be interpreting the law in a way that's favorable to claimants. That's usually in the very first sentence of the unemployment law. But often, when someone, is late to work or simply can't do their job well, they might be denied unemployment benefits for saying they committed misconduct. So the way the rules have been interpreted has really angled against workers and gone against the purpose of the statute. So the agencies that are out there need to be making sure that they're interpreting the law fairly. And if they haven't gotten information in a timely fashion, they shouldn't deny people benefits months and months later.
We're talking about Wisconsinites being asked to return unemployment benefit money that was allegedly at least overpaid to them, and wider issues surrounding the unemployment system here in Wisconsin and around the nation. Our guests are Rob Mentzer, WPR Rural Communities reporter based in Wausau, and Andrew Stettner, senior fellow at the Century Foundation. and you, if you'd like, at 800-642-1234. Did you experience that backlog yourself or someone in your family dealing with unemployment when so many people lost jobs temporarily or permanently with the beginning of the pandemic? Are you still working on those issues? Have you gotten one of these back payment notifications yourself? And do you have questions about how all this works? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about unemployment insurance in Wisconsin and overpayments and how some Wisconsinites are being asked to give some of their payments back to the state. Rob Mentzer is with us, WPR Rural Communities reporter based in Wausau, and Andrew Stettner, senior fellow at the Century Foundation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your own experiences or questions. Bill is with us in Stevens Point. Bill, hello.
Hi. Yes, my daughter was working as a waitress up in Stevens Point, and when COVID hit, all of a sudden all the restaurants need to be shut down, and so she was unemployed, applied for unemployment insurance, and she was rejected, and I kind of helped go through the appeal process, and they rejected her again on the appeal, and we could never figure out exactly what would have prevented somebody, you know, in the food industry from getting unemployment, you know, for that whole entire time that the COVID had shut down all the restaurants.
Well, Bill, thanks for sharing that story. Good luck to your daughter. Andrew, I've heard the sense over this last year that sometimes the unemployment process can be kind of this black box. You put in your information and you're not sure why you get the result that you do. Do you see an effort to make things more transparent around the country?
No, I think what there have been a lot of problems. People may not have earned enough. They may have been a problem with their identity. And often, you know, they don't get a clear understanding. And I do think we have, you know, a real push to have the federal government put on some more clear standards, just some new rules today that if you're claim is being questioned, you need to get a clear notice in the mail and on the website about why it's being questioned. So I do think there is a reckoning that we can't just leave this to chance and leave so much up to the states, who are really clearly overwhelmed, unfortunately, you know, by the task of handling the unemployment system.
And Rob, that uncertainty, that is a common theme for the families you talk to and some of the people who represent people in this overpayment situation. This is hanging over their head, and they don't know when it's going to be resolved.
Without a doubt. I mean, I follow some of these, there are Facebook groups that are about sort of support for Wisconsinites who are in the unemployment system right now. And it's just a lot of frustrated people. The systems are complex and labyrinthine and hard to benefit or, you know, hard to navigate. And you get different competing, conflicting messages at multiple steps of the way. It's not ideal, Rob.
Thanks for that call. Before I go back to our callers, Andrew, I talked to our new secretary designee of our Workforce Development Department, who's in charge of this stuff, Amy Pacek, a while back. And she said one effort they're doing is trying to use, I don't know the exact words she used, but basically human language when people are filling out their forms and getting the results, as opposed to sort of this bureaucratic babble that would be confusing to just about anyone, regardless of the level of education. Is that something you think needs to happen more, using language that is understandable in this process?
Well, unfortunately, states out of fear basically just cut and paste from the state law and ask individuals whether they fit those components. I've dealt with overpayment cases when someone says they were laid off, but they were really fired. If you jump to Webster's Dictionary under fired, it will say laid off as one of the synonyms. But those are legally totally different terms when it comes to UI. And so we really do need to dig in and get people to tell their story in their own terms that can be interpreted. You know, and technology can help with that. You know, one huge problem we've had, and I have sympathy, you know, the basic bottom line for the system used to be, if you can't understand the website, call and talk to someone. But as you know, Rob knows from spending time with people, it's almost impossible to get through. You may be on hold for days at a time. And you know, the people on the other end may have been just recently hired, and they may not have the expertise to really answer your question. So it has really complicated the situation, and it's made a real understanding that we have to improve the front end of the system. And I do want to call out, I know the state of Wisconsin has, you know, contracted and working with some of the best people in the country on this to really retool the way in which they take unemployment claims. So I do hope that your listeners will see a better system, you know, in the next couple of years.
Let's go back to our callers now. Eric is with us in Milwaukee. Eric, hello.
Hey, yeah, I was just looking for your advice. My wife's been filing weekly claims since June, and she got denied and filed an appeal and missed one of her appeals. And so then there was a hearing on the appeal, and that was denied. And so we're just kind of lost. We're not sure whether we're going to keep fighting, or we just want to know what you think.
Eric, thanks for the call. Andrew, let's throw this one to you. I know you don't know the specific circumstance here, but in general, for somebody dealing with that ongoing process, appeals, denials, do you have thoughts on ways for them to proceed?
It's difficult to deal with a non-timely appeal. You'd have to have generally extraordinary circumstances to request an additional appeal. You know, so that's why it is, I would just have to say, it is important, you know, just to be really focused on that, you know. But there, if there's a really good cause reason, you know, for a while that appeal is missed, you may be able to, you know, request a new appeal.
Thanks a lot for that call, and good luck to you. Time for another caller or two. Tom is with us in Cornell. Tom, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Tom?
So I've kind of got the opposite problem a lot of people here. It's not overpayment, but technically underpayment. I'm self-employed, or have been self-employed for 15 years. The year before all this hit, I made $36,000. And I was supposed to qualify. I'm a gig worker. I do sound and lights. Our industry was shut right down. And in the meantime, I've taken a couple of part-time jobs over the last couple of years that were W-2. So when I filed my unemployment for getting shut down, all they would qualify me for was $71 a week. Based off of my W-2s, they wouldn't let me file for the self-employment. You know, it was so bad. I sold my house. I had a $205,000 house. I sold it and bought a $90,000 shack 40 miles away.
Thanks a lot for that call. Sorry to hear that. Rob, I know your recent reporting looked at overpayment, but I imagine you're hearing from people in the community that either didn't get any unemployment, or as in our caller's case, got less than they thought they might be eligible for.
Well, sure. And yeah, I mean, as right. And he's this, that case, which is really striking. I mean, that is an example right there where within the sort of unemployment bureaucracy, they accepted these W-2s from this part-time work. But they did not accept this, you know, him being self-employed, which would have entitled them to these larger payments. So
I hope the listener knows that the December stimulus bill, thanks to people like him who advocated for this problem, unfortunately, the fundamental rule is that W-2 earnings have to come first because it's a state benefit before the federal benefit. But there was a lot of people in this problem. People like him are eligible for an additional $100 per week starting January 2nd for weeks of unemployment. Wisconsin has agreed to be part of this program, which is called Mixed Earner Unemployment Compensation. But they're one of at least half the states that have accepted this program that have not put it into place. You are going to have to apply for this program. You are going to have to establish that you had at least $5,000 in net self-employment income in 2019 to get that extra $100 per week. So you just have to keep your eyes peeled for when that application becomes available. By law, they're supposed to notify everybody, but you know, I wouldn't trust that. Just keep your eye open to when that application will come, and you would get back payments. I mean, given where Wisconsin is, it may be well into the year, second half of the year before the application becomes available, but you will be able to get back payments at $100 per week you know, from January all the way through September 6th under current law. So that would be another, at least another, you know, $4,000, you know, for this caller and others in his situation.
Got a note from our producer here. The Department of Workforce Development expects that mixed earner income program to be up and running by May 19th. Very briefly, Andrew, just a few moments left. Other things to watch for in the latest federal relief package when it comes to unemployment?
One thing to watch for is the benefit year problem. If you've been on unemployment for a year and worked part-time, you may have to reapply for benefits. Those also could be a lower amount, but the law does not allow you to be decreased by more than $25. So just, you know, be aware of that, but don't reapply even if you have a benefit year end date if you have not worked at all in the prior year. It's a very confusing situation, but basically if you have not worked at all, don't reapply. It's just going to mess up your claim.
We'll leave it there. Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
And Rob, thanks for being with us. We'll watch for more of your reporting on this.
Thank you.
Been talking to Rob Mentzer, Wisconsin Public Radio's rural communities reporter based in Wausau, and Andrew Stettner, senior fellow at the Century Foundation. We talked to them about why people in Wisconsin and across the country are being told they've been overpaid unemployment benefits, and looking at some of the challenges facing the unemployment system over the last year in Wisconsin, and as we heard, around the country, and the latest efforts to try to catch up and modernize the technology at the center of those systems.